verses 3 onwards. We had completed partially 3, but 3 and 4 are the upasana of the Nirgun Nirakar, because the question was which one is superior, the devotee who worships Sagun Sakar or the devotee who worships Nirgun Nirakar. So Nirgun Nirakar is explained in 2 verses and then it's done. And then the rest of the chapter is all Sagun Sakar. And then the indicators that were given was that this Nirgun Nirakar is Akshara. It is imperishable. Naksharati iti Akshara. So when we say Paryupasati, or when we say worships the Nirgun Nirakar, it means that the devotee has to meditate on that substratum which is non-perishing. Because there is no form, okay? So the meaning of the word upasana changes for Nirgun Nirakar and Sagun Sakar. Sagun Sakar, there is a form, there is an idol, there is a photo, there is shivling, whatever it is. You can do things with it. You can put water, you can put milk, you can bathe it, you can wash it, you can dress it. All those things you can do. Whereas when it comes to Nirgun Nirakar, no action is possible because there is no form, there is no duality. So the only worship is in the way of meditation, thought. And that's why it requires an extremely highly purified mind to keep that mind on these indicators. So the on the substratum rather than on the form, because there is no form. And in Sagun Sakar, at least you can go from form to, this is direct, you have to go. There is no form to help you. Anirdesham, that which cannot be indicated, that which cannot be known by any of the means of knowledge. The 6 means of knowledge, we can indicate things. Either we can see by direct perception, or we can infer, we can presume, we can compare. But this cannot be done like, we cannot indicate this Nirgun Nirakar that way. Avyaktam, unmanifest. The fire within the wood is to be worshipped. It's very easy. When you see the fire, you can worship it. You see something. This, you have to just know that there is fire in the wood. And now you worship that one. So that's why avyaktam. Sarvatra gama, that which has gone everywhere. The closest thing that has gone everywhere that we know is of space. So we have to meditate. The devotee has to meditate on space. Like space, I'm very subtle. I pervade everything. Because you cannot have something else is there which is pervading everything. So the meditation has to be that it is me only. I pervade all. I am very subtle, etc. Achintyam, thought-free knowledge. Chintyam is knowledge with thought. That is the knowledge that we are used to. When we see anything, when we hear anything, when we taste, touch, all these perceptions happen in the form of thought in the mind. And we are very much used to that. Now we need to go for that knowledge which has no thought, without thought. So that is achintyam. And kutam, I told you, kutam is anvil, of course, the hub. That is one meaning. One meaning is there's something inside, something outside, a different thing. One meaning is kutvakya, lies. So this, when I say I'm the body, I'm lying. This has to be the worship. Oh, that's a lie. I cannot say I'm a body. I'm the substratum. Okay, I am the one because of which all these body, mind and intellect is moving, pranas, like the hub of the wheel. The wheel moves because of the hub. If the hub were to be removed, the spokes would be scattered and the wheel couldn't move. Same way, if this substratum is removed, then the body, mind and intellect cannot function. So I am that kutam. Achalam, unmoving, absolutely unmoving, because there is nowhere to move. Being all pervading, where would it move? Like space cannot move. Why? Because it is everywhere. And then Dhruvam, which is eternal. Okay. And for this meditation, in verse 4, Bhagwan says, Sanniyam Indriya Gramam, this Samyak Niyamya means, Samyak means very well controlled Indriyas, the sense organs you need. Because the sense organs are used to rebel in form. You know, eyes want color and form. Ears want sound. So the sense organs are used to rebelling in these forms, various forms. And now for them to turn inward, they need to be absolutely under control, because if they are not, then they're going to go after form, after sound, after taste, after touch, etc. So therefore, these, in the end, this is a very, very important aspect in a spiritual seeker's life, that the senses have to be under control. We are not saying to totally suppress the senses, but indulgence must be avoided. Okay. Sarvatra samabuddhe, there should be equanimity of the mind, because if there is not, then the mind will run towards that which you like. That's why this samabuddhe. And then these people, te prapnuvanti mam eva, they come to me only, they will come to me. And sarva bhutaite rataha, they will be reveling in the welfare of all the people, because they know that the substratum in them is the self. The self in me is the self in all. That is what they are meditating on. And then Bhagwan goes to say that, yeah, correct. It is a method to reach me. But klesho hi dhikatare stesham. There is adhika. There is a lot of klesha. There is a lot of pain in this thing. Difficulty in this. Why? Because we are used to identifying with the body. For births and births, we have thought of ourselves as the body. And now suddenly you have to think about something which is without body. That is not possible. It is difficult. It is very difficult. As long as you have identification with the body, as long as you think you are the body, nirgun nirakar upasana is not possible. Okay, that is the basic bottom line. That's why Bhagwan Ramana Maharshi said, if you think you have a form, then better God has a form. Though you have a form, God has a form. Now you love that form and then you worship that form, etc., etc. It's perfect. But you have a form and God doesn't have a form. That is going to be difficult. Avyakta chetasam kleshohim. Yeah. Whose minds are set on the unmanifested. Greater is the truth. Because they are themselves in the manifested world. They themselves think that they are manifest. It becomes very difficult to fix the mind on the unmanifest. Very hard for the embodied to read. So this is the reason that Bhagwan has given, that though there are both the paths and none is superior to the other, basically it is what you are qualified for. If you think that you can fix your mind on the nirgun nirakar, yes, please do it. But you know what? Sagun sakar is easy. And you know what? The goal is me only. So you don't have to take that much trouble. If you think you're embodied, then you go for sagun sakar. And now in verse 6, he is giving us the bridge between sagun sakar and nirgun nirakar. From sagun sakar, he says, move on to nirgun nirakar. It'll be easy. You think you have a form, God has a form, you worship, you have developed love, you develop devotion. And slowly, slowly that idea will come to you that, oh, you know what? God doesn't really have a form, because your thought will go to the ideal behind that idol. God doesn't have a form. I also don't have a form, and we are one. And then nirgun nirakar will be easy. So to reach that stage, what should I do? And this is what he gives in verse 6. I believe we were here on verse 6, right? We didn't read this, did we? No. Yeah, that's what I thought. Yetu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya matparaha ananenaiva yogena mam dhyayanta upasate. But those who worship me, renouncing all actions in me, regarding me as the supreme goal, meditating on me with single-minded yoga, we'll read the next verse, it's like a continuation. Tesha maham samuddharta mrityu sausara sagarat bhavami nachirat partha maya veshita chetasam. For them whose minds are set on me, verily I become erlong, O Partha, the savior out of the ocean of finite experiences, the sausara. So we will take these two verses today. Yetu sarvani karmani. So tu is but. But those who offer all their karmas to me, mai sanyasya mat paraha. Both these words we saw in the previous chapter as well. I told you that time. Mat karma, mat paraha. So here also, now he's saying, all the actions, not just that worship. When I worship, of course, I'm worshiping the Lord. But throughout the day, throughout life, all these actions have to be offered into Him. And what does it mean? We'll see. Also, He needs to think of me as the supreme. I've told you this idea before. We work for the bank. We work for an organization. Our whole 8 hours are dedicated to that organization, but we do not think that organization is the supreme param. Here, that is the difference. Then not only you offer all the actions to Him, and when we say all actions, it includes mundane actions like eating, drinking, having lunch, walking, talking, everything. So it, of course, includes our work world as well as our personal world. In every karma, there are two aspects to every karma. Before the karma is performed, there is the doership. And after the action is performed, there is the enjoyership. So when He says, Yetu sarvani karmani, mai sanyasya matva. So when all these actions have to be dedicated to me, means you give up the doership and the enjoyership. It is not two different things. We have to understand. If I give up the doership, automatically enjoyership will go away. The reason what happens in our life, because in our state of ignorance, I think that I am doing the action. I think that. Because physically, when you look at it, of course, you know, I'm speaking now. Now, who else is speaking? I am speaking. And if I have that notion that I'm the one that is speaking, or I'm doing, which is ego, that I'm the doer, automatically I become the enjoyer. I cannot have the notion that I am doing and then say that, oh, I don't have any enjoyership. You cannot do that. If you have the notion, trust me, that enjoyership is yours too. It doesn't, because that locus is already, we have provided it. So there is no two things to give up. Give up the doership. And I've given you the example of the servant who works for the master. Okay. So when the master tells the servant, go to shop A, buy thing B and come back. And the servant knows that this thing is cheaper in the other shop. He says, what does it matter to me? It's the master's money. If I lose money, it is master's. If suppose suddenly in this shop A, this particular thing is on sale and cheaper than this, the master gains. What is it to me? It is the same idea when we call a priest to do puja in our house. We do various pujas, Satyanarayan puja or whatever puja. See, the priest is actually the one who is chanting all the mantras and actually is telling us what to do. But the merit always goes to the yajman. The merit goes to the yajman. Why? Because the priest is acting on behalf of the yajman. And that is what is meant when it is said, Ye tu karmani sarvani, mai sanyasya matparaha. When I do everything for the Lord, then the result also goes to Him. When I do things for myself, and how do I do things for myself? By considering myself as the doer. I am doing this thing for me. Then what happens is I automatically provide a locus for those karma phalas to stick. Because law of karma is that there will be a result. That cannot be changed. Okay, so the result will come. Now I have already provided a locus in the form of my ego, in the form of this doership notion, to which that karma phala is going to stick, and it is going to create more vasanas, and it is going to create rebirth. But if I say that I am not the doer, I am an instrument of the Lord, then what is happening is that ego is not coming in between. There is no locus. Locus becomes the Lord. I am an instrument of the Lord. So who is the locus? Locus becomes the Lord. Now this karma phala will go stick to Lord. But the Lord says that nothing sticks to me. Name karmani limpanti. He already said that in chapter 4. Because He has no doership. He has no ego. Also, when things in infinity, nothing stays. Like if I were to light an incense stick in this small room, the whole room would be fragrant. But if I take that same stick and go out in the open garden, there is not going to be any fragrance at all. So this is the trick. This is how we get out of our vasanas, because it is the vasanas that are making us act. And this knowledge comes only when we come into the mission and we study all these texts. So what is making us act is our vasanas. They are in subtle form and they are pushing us. They create thoughts in our mind, and that thought is creating an action. That action I take upon myself, because I said, oh, I had this great thought and now I have done this great action. That I, which is the small I, becomes a locus, becomes a stick point, a point where this result will stick. And the result doesn't stick in physical form, please note, it sticks in subtle form. And that subtle form then becomes, is the vasana. So while exhausting one vasana, by taking on the doership, I create another vasana. And that is what we want to avoid. If I want to avoid the new vasana, see, the old vasana cannot be avoided. Why? Because it is already there. I collected it in my previous birth. It is already there. That vasana has now given me a thought. Okay, I cannot help that. Because if there is a vasana, that it will someday come as a thought in my mind. So I cannot help that either. Okay, that thought has come. That desire has come in my mind. I cannot avoid the action either, because that thought, that's why either the thought comes, and if I can dissolve the thought right there without taking it into the next level of action, fine. Most of the time, I can't. I can't, because it depends. If the vasana is very strong, the thought will be very strong and that action will come out. If the vasana is a weak vasana, the thought will come in and say, oh, it's okay. You know, I don't really have to do this. Go further with this. And then that can be dissolved. But most of the time, it will not get dissolved. It will come as action. So where I have a choice is that point where the thought has arisen. I have decided to do the action. And at that point, I say, oh, Lord, I offer this action to you. It is for you that I'm doing it. It is because of your grace. We are talking devotion here. So the devotee says, it is because of your grace that I got this thought of doing this thing. And now I'm going to do this. And that way I shift the locus to the Lord. The locus is shifted. And when that is done, this karma, mai sanyasya karmani, means that then you have offered that karma to the Lord. Because physically we cannot offer this thing to Lord. Any action, physically it cannot be offered. We have to do it. That is what we offer. Okay? This is what he means here. Sarvani karmani. That we should not, as long as what happens with us is, because in the state of ignorance, we have the five kleshas. The five kleshas are avidya, asmita, abhinivesh, raga, and dvesha. Okay? The origin is avidya. I don't know my own nature. Okay? Because of that, this asmita is coming. I-ness is coming. I-ness and my-ness. That is coming. And then identification is there with the body. And because of these three, I act out of like and dislike. That is why the importance of neutralizing likes and dislikes. Most of the people will do things which they like and will try to avoid things which they don't like. It's natural. It's natural. I like to do this, so I'll do it. I don't like to do that, so I will not do it. And when we do it with any one of the kleshas, anyone, we don't, not all five suddenly have to come. Five, they're like siblings. So they go kind of together. But if I do it only with like, or if I run away because I dislike it, what is my duty if I don't do? Why? Because I don't like to do it. It's my duty. Doctor has told me, say, I have to go for a walk every day, but I don't like to go for a walk. It is raining, it is snowing, it is cold. So I don't go. And that is my duty to my body. Then also that is binding me. So any action that is done under these kleshas will bind me, will create vasana and bind me into next birth. So what I do when I offer, then these kleshas, they don't apply to the Lord. These things do not apply to the Lord. So this is what he means by yetu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya matpar. Not only that you offer your actions to me, but please know that I am the supreme abode from where there is no return, param, and beyond which there is nothing. two aspects. Supreme has two aspects. One is beyond this, there is nothing more to be achieved. And second is you will not come back from here. You will not go back into the mortal world once you this thing. And then Ananya, I told you this word is going to come again. Ananyena eva yogena. By the yoga of ananyata, yoga is to join. How do you join with me? Is by ananyata. Ananyata is exclusiveness. To the exclusion of everything else, you only dhyayanta, mam dhyayanta upasate. You meditate, you worship me. Here it is very easy because when he says upasate here, it is a physical worship because the idol is there. This is sagun sakar. We have come out of nirgun nirakar now. Okay. One aspect of ananya is exclusiveness. The other aspect of ananya is that we in our life, we must not get into any kind of arguments. In the sense, when there somebody says, no, there is no God, we need not argue. We need not fight for our point. God doesn't need us to fight for him. No, there is a God. No, there is no God. How do you say he's within you? Okay, it's okay. Don't worry. He's in the temple. Okay, fine. That's fine. That is also one aspect of ananya at our level, where we don't get into unnecessary arguments. See, in Mundaka Upanishad, the Upanishad says that once the person realizes the self, he becomes a natiwadi, na ativadi. That is na ati, means what? Means he does not argue with anybody about anything. Once he has realized, when we have knowledge in the form of information, we talk a lot. But once it becomes wisdom, once it becomes our own experience, we become silent. Because we come to know that there really isn't anything to talk about. Because the minute I open my mouth, it is only about the not self that I can talk. I cannot talk about the self. I only talk about the not self, right? So he doesn't talk very much. So this is how it is a technique to bridge the gap. So sagun nirgun nirakar people sometimes, you know, devotees or whatever, not real devotees would never think. But they think sagun sakar is a bit lower. It is not lower. Because if the goal is the same, how can it be lower or higher? See, with karma and jnana, karma is definitely lower than jnana. Because the goal of karma and the goal of jnana are different. And karma cannot reach that goal that jnana can give you. Therefore, it is a little bit different. But with sagun sakar and nirgun nirakar, they're both at same level. Okay? And then Bhagwan says, for one, okay, Bhagwan, if I do all this, then what is in it for me? He says, Tesham, aham, I, for such people, Samudharta, Mrityu, Sausara, Sagarat. Samudharta. So, Samudharta has got three words in it, this second word from the verse. It's Sama, Uta, and Dharta, or Sama, Uta, and Harta. Samudharta can be broken in these two ways. So, sama, uta is lifting up. Uta is up. Sama, samyak. Sama means some, means very well, I lift him. And dharta means holding. So, I lift him and I hold him. Or harta means I lift him and keep him at that level. They both mean the same. It's a play on words. The word actually means I lift him up. Uta is up. Okay. So I lift him up. And then, of course, another way of interpreting this word is samud harta. Samud muda, happy. Means I do it very happily. Harta is to hold him. So I hold him up very happily. I'm joyfully doing it. Not out of any kind of compulsion. Either way, you can take it. Okay, the point is, you lift him up from where, Bhagwan? Mrityu, Sausara, Sagar, ocean of death and samsara. Okay, so death and samsara is the realm of change. And death doesn't it should never be understood, this mrityu, as the physical death, because nobody can avoid physical death. Okay, nobody can avoid physical death. Death is change. If you think about what death is actually only a change in condition. And therefore, these changes happen throughout our lives, and actually a lot of deaths we have gone through. The baby body has died to give rise to the childhood body. Childhood body has died to give rise to the youth body. Youth body has become middle-aged body. Thoughts have died. So many things we didn't like when we were children. So many things we liked when we were children. Now those thoughts have died. And new thoughts have been born. So then there is other kinds of financial death is there. Name can be spoiled. All those deaths are there. It's a realm of change. Samsara is an experience of change where relativity is the order. Everything is relative. You know, like it's not permanent. It's relative. Yeah, he had a long life. Or whatever we say is relative because it is in the realm of time. So from this ocean of change, I lift him. I give him relief. Because what is happening is we are going up and down in this ocean of change. When the change is in our favor, we are very happy. And when the change is not in our favor, then we are sad. That is how we go up and down in this realm of change. Samsarati iti samsara. Samsarati. Samyak sarati change. That which is very well changing is what sansara is. That we cannot avoid. Okay. So this samsara will go on changing. We have no control over it. What we have control over is my own state. Okay. Sansara goes on changing. Why should I go on going up and down there? Okay, now another means other aspect of this is he says I lift him up physically. So should we understand is that what he's standing there and now he's going to come and lift us? No, what he's doing is he's giving us that sort of mental strength, buddhi yoga, which we heard the word in chapter 10, and then we also heard the word divine eyes. Right? Divya Chakshu we heard. And that time also I told you, what is Divya Chakshu? It's not a physical eye that he gives us, but it is that bent of mind. You know that the mind, it'll mature. It'll be very mature to understand that, yes, this is the realm of change in which I am living, but I am not a part of the change. I am that changeless substratum because of which this change is even visible to me, because of which I even know this change. So this samuddhartesham aham samuddharta mrityusa means I lift them up, means I give them that type of buddhi by which they come to understand that I am not the change. I am the substratum on which all these changes are happening. These changes do not affect me. And therefore, we are lifted from that ocean of sansar. By our own buddhi. It is not like Bhagwan is standing there and now he's going to come lift us up somewhere. It's not like that. Okay? He says that. That means what? Our own mental attitude will change. Our own intellect will change. The mind will become so pure. Why it is becoming pure is because of this previous verse. Mai sarvani karmani. We are giving up the doership. We are giving up likes and dislikes. What are we doing there? We're purifying the mind. They're coming out of our likes and dislikes. So when we, that's why he says 6 and 7 are connected. The one mam dhyayant upasate tesha maham samuddharta. It's a continuous sentence there actually. Those who constantly worship me like that, how do they have to worship? Because you see, when we say constantly worship, everybody will say, "Are, but I cannot sit in my altar all day long and keep bathing the Lord. And how much will I do? How many mantras will I chant?" So that is not the point. You do your worship in the morning. That is okay. But throughout the day, whatever actions you do, you offer it to him. It is offering of the ego. And, you know, very simple ways of doing it. I think I've told you before. Anything that you write, you can start putting an om on top. even a grocery list I make, I put OM on top. Or when you get in the car or go, you're traveling somewhere, you can say Om Namo Shivaya or Om Namo Bhagavate Vas, whatever is your deity. So and that's the whole idea of us lighting a lamp first thing in the morning. So all days, but people, they light the lamp. Even I used to do that. I used to do my lighting of the lamp, but throughout the day, I just went about my job. Now what has happened is not only that I light my job, light my lamp in the morning and whatever prayers that I have to do, but before every action, I try to think of the Lord. That is the change. That is how we progress. That is the progress. Okay. So now, because I noticed, like Guruji, whenever he writes an email on top, even in his, I've not figured that one out, but even on the email, there's an OM there. Okay, I cannot do it in my emails, but I can definitely do on anything that I write on paper, right? So I do that. So automatically I've thought of OM. OM is fine. Anything is fine. Your favorite deity. In this is this thing. So if you have a favorite deity, you can think of that. OM Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, OM Namo Narayanaya, OM Namah Shivaya, whatever. So when you start, you know, you can just chant that mantra. You're going out somewhere in the car, you say, oh Lord, bring me back safely. Any excuse to think about the Lord. Any excuse. Oh God, it's snowing, please take me safely. Oh, it's raining, let it not rain when I have to get out of the car. You know, any excuse in throughout the day. So that, and then we all, obviously we have our prayers, morning prayers and evening prayers. So that is another way of doing it. In the computer, all passwords, name of the deities, automatic remembrance. You have to think, oh, what is my password here? Oh, it is this Shivoham. It is Shankara. It is Mangesh. It is whatever, right? You type that in automatic. So it becomes a way of life. It is not something that we are doing specifically. Special. I have to remember. Oh, I have to remember the Lord. Let me remember the Lord first before it will become part of your life. That is what is wanted. And then the mind becomes very, very pure. And because the mind becomes pure, your intellect becomes, there is clarity in the intellect and this knowledge comes. And that is what is meant by aham. In the language of devotion, it will always be the devotee will say that God did this for me. The jnani will say that I got this. See, this thought came to me. This the jnani will say. The devotee will say God did it for me. So therefore, God here, Bhagwan says, I do this for you. I will lift you up. But actually what it means is that the mind, the purity of the mind will give clarity in the intellect and I will know it. And when will you do this, Bhagwan? Bhavami nachirat partha. Bhavami na achirat means very, very soon. So extremely soon, maya veshita chetasam, because very soon mai aveshita chetasam, that is the break of that word. So when your chetas is intellect, when your intellect avesh, we have seen this word avesham, mai mayavesha manopartha, right? He said that. Where did he say that? Just before, I think. And that time I told you where the mind is in the previous one, where the mind is completely in him, right? Aveshita is overpowered. So here also, mai aveshita chetasam. So the intellect then will be overpowered by me. Means your intellect, means I keep thinking of the Lord. That is what I told you, that it becomes just a way of life with you, with all spiritual seekers, that you just constantly think of the Lord. Constantly. You sit in the car, you say Hare Ram, Hare Krishna, whatever that deity you want to do. Okay? So this is, he says, verily I become ere long, O Partha, that. Okay. With the mind, see this, adatsva, mayaveshita, huh. So, the mind in him, I told you, where the doership and the enjoyership is given up. Okay, karmas, rebelling in the Lord, mind rebelling in the Lord is knowing that, because mind can revel only in things that it knows. So the more you come to know about the Lord, the more my aveshita or adatsva, it's the same. Adatsva or my aveshita. And the chetas, the intellect works in fields which is unknown. Intellect always works in fields which is unknown. So we can find different ways of remembering the Lord ourselves. That's how the intellect will work. Okay, this adatsva is coming now. 8. So we go on to the next one.
Maye vamana adatsva, mai buddhim niveshaya, nivasishyasi mayeva, ata urdhvam na saushayaha.
Fix thy mind on me only, place thy intellect in me, then thereafter you shall no doubt live in me alone. Atha urdhvam na saushaya. There is no doubt. Urdhvam again is up, like uta. It's going up. You will without doubt go up. When will I go up? Mai adhats, mai mana adhatsva. This is the sadhana for doing bhakti. This is what is now being told here in this verse. That's all. So mai mana adhatsva and mai buddhim adhatsva. Okay. So when the mind is, it rebels in the Lord, mind functions only in realms known. So the more you come to know about the Lord, Hari Ananta, Hari Katha Ananta. Okay. So because the Lord is infinite, his stories are also infinite, and we can never get bored of his stories because they are also very good. So the more we read, the more we know. That's the importance of reading Ramayana, Bhagavata, all these bhakti texts, you know, Bhagavata Puran, Ramayana, Shiva Puran, whatever this thing is, to know more about the Lord so that we can revel more and more and more in him. And we have the, you know, choice to choose which one I like. Do I like Ganesha? Do I like Hanuman? Do I like Krishna? Do I like Rama? Do I like Shiva? You have a choice. That's why this Sagun Sakar becomes very easy. There is a form. You can choose a form which you like. And then put the mind in that form. Mai eva mana adatsva. In me alone, put your mind. You will put your mind in the things that you love. Do we think of a spider all the time? Or do we think of our grandchildren more? Why? Because we love the grandchildren. We love the children. We love our home. Whatever that you love, you know, that's what you'd be thinking about. If you love movies, then you'll be constantly thinking about movies. If you love clothes, then you'll be thinking constantly about whatever that you love. It's the tendency of the mind. It's very, very natural. So what you do is you start loving the Lord. How do I love the Lord? How do I develop that bhakti for the Lord? Is by knowing about the Lord. How can you love something which you don't know at all? Right? So the more you come to know, the more you can love. There are two ways. Either you just fall in love with something. Okay. Suppose if you totally fall in love with somebody or something, you will automatically want to know more. Right? One way. But now God, though, we cannot see God suddenly that, oh, I fell in love with God. It cannot see. So either we have to hear or read. Therefore, Swami Swarupananji, he always is this, he's very famous. He says, when I was growing up, my grandmother used to tell me stories about Ramayana and this thing. And that's how I started loving. So hearing. So what happens is in hearing, you come to know. And when you come to know the glories of the Lord, then you love. And then when you love, the more you love, the more you think about that entity. Right? So this way, this mind, which can only function in realms known, can become mai mana adatsva. Now, mai buddhim adatsva also is there. Buddhi functions in the realm of the unknown. It is the intellect which, you know, had the ideas of going to the moon. Nobody had gone to the moon first. Then it's not mind. Mind didn't think. Intellect thought, oh, this is how if I break the gravitational force, and this is how if I do, I can reach the moon. So intellect always functions in realms unknown. So the way to have my buddhi adhatsva is to find new ways of remembering the Lord, new ways of meditating on the Lord. And that's why we have the example of space. I'm like, space, you know, you decide in realms unknown. And this is how this my buddhi adhatsva will be fulfilled. Okay, so he says, so it's my mana buddhi adhatsva. And to know, how would I know about the Lord is to read about the Lord. That's why Ramayana, Bhagavat, whatever books, satsang, hearing about the Lord. Those are the ways, satsang. And the other, when these things we do, when we read about the Lord, when we do satsang, when we come in contact with this knowledge, then we practice it. Okay. And the whole practice of this knowledge, the goal of practice of the knowledge is to reduce the vasanas, purify the vasanas. And what is purification of vasanas? Is purification of the mind. And purification of the mind is clarity in the intellect, and then tesham aham samuddharta happens. This is how it goes. So therefore, this is how we can learn devotion. Learn. Suppose if you say, you know, I'm not a devotee, I can't love that much. See, one thing about devotion is of the nature of love. Okay. All love is not devotion, but all devotion is definitely love. Because I can love chocolates, that doesn't mean I'm devoted to chocolates. I can love something, but not be devoted to it. So the one ingredient of devotion is reverence also. Where there is respect and where there is love, that becomes devotion. So respect is at the level of the intellect, and love is at the level of the mind. And when these two, or heart, when these two merge, it becomes devotion. Okay. So to develop this devotion, in Upadeshar, if you see, Upadeshar, Bhagavan says, you have your body, mind and intellect. So with the body, you do puja to develop this thing. With your speech, body, speech and mind, with your speech, you do bhajan, kirtan, etc., etc. And then with your mind, you do japa. Intellect, you do japa. Then there is silent japa and all that. So these are the methods to develop devotion. This is, therefore, he says, mai mana adatsva. How? By doing puja, your mind can revel in, if you like to do puja. By chanting the name of the Lord, you can do puja. You know, you can develop that devotion. So this is what is meant here. How to develop that bhakti for Sagun Sakar. And then when you place your mind and intellect in me, and this is how you live, that this is how you live your life. Okay. Mind and intellect only for first 5 minutes in the morning, I light my lamp, and then whole day I don't think of him. That is not correct. That's why we've given you those methods, like throughout the day, how you bring him into the picture all the time. Then without any doubt, you will come to me. Okay. So this is what it means. Okay. Today I will stop here. There's a little bit I want to just tell you, all of you, it's up to you. As we all know, this coronavirus is taking a lot of, it's taking its toll in all aspects, you know. I mean, Calgary, I believe it's now emergency. I don't know when BC is going to follow. We've already had from first it was one death, then it became two. Today somebody told me it's three deaths in BC, in Vancouver. There are three deaths, and then more and more are the same. So anyway, on WhatsApp, there is hopeful news, which I'll tell you. Somebody has sent me two astrological predictions. One is that after 31st of March, things will start changing. And one is mid-May, it'll start changing. Because they say Rahu is the one that is doing all this, and Rahu is now on the move. So Rahu will move into a different planet, and when it moves, that is one aspect of it. But another WhatsApp message that I got, recording that I got, said that if we can chant Vishnu Sahasranam every day. Now, most of you probably are chanting it once a week, which even I'm doing as well. But on a daily basis, if we can think, prayers, please understand one thing about prayers. Prayers have great power. Don't underestimate the power of prayer ever. Okay? So prayer, it is said that if I think of a person, suppose if a person is not well, if I think of that person and then chant Mahamrityunjaya Japa, and that person may be anywhere on the earth, in India or wherever, the vibrations will go to him. This is subtle. This is all Atindriya Vishaya. Atindriya means which our senses cannot know. We have to have faith in this. Only then it will work. Okay? So Vishnu Sahasranam takes about between 15 and 20 minutes it takes. Okay? So as tapas, all of us, you know, as spiritual seekers, we must do some tapas. What I'm finding is that most of the people have been asked to work from home, at least in here. Quite a few people have been told, just don't come to work, right? So now, if you have got that instruction, because the thing is, the first thing people are going to say is, where do I have the time? What I'm saying is, if you've been asked to work from home, you have saved that half an hour of drive or 45 minutes of drive. Don't get up late. See, that is where the spiritual seeker is different from an ordinary person. An ordinary person will say, hey, 45 minutes I saved. I'm going to sleep in 45 minutes. I'll wake up and I am working from home. I don't even have to take a shower and I can start my work, because who knows? Nobody knows. Nobody can see me, right? Because it's a computer work. But as a spiritual seeker, the way we must think is, okay, if I'm going to be saving 45 minutes or half an hour of commute time, then what shall I do in that time? Is how can I study or this thing? And so if you are saving 30 minutes, 40 minutes, then please get up at the same time. Keep your same routine. And then in those 30 minutes, chant the Vishnu Sahasranam. Those of us who are retired, for me, it doesn't matter. I started it today. I got the WhatsApp yesterday. I've been forwarding it to some few people. And then I'm going to be telling it in my class as well here. But I thought I'll mention it here. It's up to you. They say that it will help, you know, either find the vaccine or help the virus to go away on its own. That is what ultimately is going to happen, because there is no cure for a virus. What they're doing is vaccination. I also heard that Canada has just today started testing, but apparently it's going to take a year for the testing to complete. So 10 companies, that also I've heard, 10 pharmaceutical companies have come up with a vaccination. FDA is putting everything else on hold, testing this, but the testing itself takes about a year. Okay. So if we can all, and the other thing is, see, when one person is doing it, suppose if some weight is to be carried or something, if one person is trying to lift it, it is difficult. But if 10 people come and help, then how easy? That weight will not even feel that weight, right? Same way with prayers it is. One person can do it, of course. But if mass, you know, if somebody has also sent me an email saying they're going to do Om chanting in India at one time. That is the idea, that everybody does it at the same time. We cannot guarantee same time. I'm not saying that. But if all of us can do it, once a day. And okay, those who cannot chant, they can also listen. That also is there. So you on YouTube, I'm sure there'll be, or anybody who has got Alexa or Google, they might have it, or people might have the CD, whatever tape. So if you can't chant yourself, you can listen. The advantage of chanting is that you're engaging two sense organs. One is the organ of speech, which is a karmendriya, an organ of action. And you, when you chant, you're hearing as well. So your one sense organ, your perception, organ of perception is also engaged. So it's a double whammy. It's a double merit. Okay. For those of you, some people may not have faith that prayers have great power and that prayer can help with the coronavirus. Even then, we should do this, because even if it, suppose it will have, but suppose it doesn't have any effect on, because young people, they'll say, well, what? I'm chanting here and what is it doing to the core? Okay, the chanting is helping you, because you are now taking 1,000 names of the Lord. So that will purify your speech and your mind. So keep that in mind. Like, it will help the virus, this virus situation. Okay. Even if I don't have faith that it will help the virus situation, it will definitely help me, because I have now chanted 1,000 names of the Lord. So with that in mind, if you can do it on a daily basis, it literally takes between 15 to 20 minutes, not more than that. For some, if you're slow, it might be 30 minutes. If some of you can get together and then do it, 3-4 people, whatever, if that, but alone also, please do it. That is my request. And as you must have also seen Swami Swarupananji's email, he has said, Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, that one prayer to be said, and Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, one mantra he has given. Not Om Trambakam, he didn't give Trambakam. I think he gave Om
Hanuman Chalisa.
Okay. So Hanuman Chalisa also doesn't take more than 5 minutes to chant. And you know what? Hanuman Chalisa tapes and all are there. So if you can't read Hindi or this thing, put the tape. You can just put the tape or the CD. Hanuman Chalisa already, because Hanumanji is a pillar of strength, they say it gives the person strength who chants it. Okay? So Hanuman Chalisa, I actually literally chant it in my shower and it's done. I'm done in the morning. Finish. That is fine too. Okay? So these two things, if you can incorporate, Vishnu Sahasranam would be good. Okay? Or they said also that if you cannot chant, you do one mala 108 times, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So there's another, just one mala. It won't take too long. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay? So just for the benefit of all, see, Sarva Bhuta Hite Rataha, we are studying, right? To be a good devotee, we should not just, you know, like, oh, I'm okay and my family is okay, so whatever happens. It should be, as a spiritual seeker, we must never have that attitude. You know, my mortgage is paid off. Now, who cares if the mortgage rates go up? That is not for us, because we fall in our own sadhana. So we must always think what will be beneficial to everybody and what can we do. I'm not in a position to be in the pharmaceutical company, or I don't know, have any of this thing, right? But prayers is always in our hands. Praying is always our choice. And so if we can make time to chant Vishnu Sahasranam on a daily basis, it will be the other thing that I've done, and maybe we can do it here as well. In my Saturday class, I've incorporated the Mahamrityunjaya Japa once. So all of us will chant it together. What happens is, if there are 11 people and we chant, then its effect is like 11 times we have done the chanting. So from today onwards, let us do that. Before I say Purnamada, I'm going to say Om Trambakam, and I would, all of you please chant as well, so that many chants it comes. So only once we will chant that, then I will say Purnamada, and then we'll close. I will actually, do I say Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina? I do, right? No, I just say Purnamada. Mm-hmm. So from today onwards, I'm going to start with Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina. That's what is the instruction from Swami Swarupananji. We will meet next time and we will continue with this chapter. It's wonderful that we're doing it in the safety of our own homes.
So
okay.
We are meeting on Monday, right?
Yeah. Sorry?
We're meeting this Monday, right?
Next Monday.
Yeah.
Huh? Why? Is there a long? No, it's not long.
It was supposed to be the long weekend, I think.
No, 23rd March is
maybe
not a
long. Today was supposed to be the long weekend.
Today?
Family day, right? But I think family day is out.
No, now. It happened. No, family day happened in February. We are in March.
It's a spring break.
Spring break, sorry.
But spring break is only for school. Nah? It's not long. Oh, are you guys?
Spring break anyways.
Are you guys want to close for spring break?
No, we're just asking.
Nobody's traveling anywhere now, right?
Yeah, so we might as well have the class.
I think we should have the class because nobody can go any. I was supposed to come next Monday, so this class would not have happened. Yeah. I would have been there.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So that way. So I think the next long weekend is Easter weekend, and that you can decide that Monday if you want to take off. But I don't see any reason. I don't think anybody is traveling anywhere. No. So I'm going to start with Om Trimba.